Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the 75th episode of the PVD Cast. I'm your host, John Orlando. I am bringing you the only podcast that's indirect from the Ocean State via the Buckeye State. Still kind of throwing you off a little bit with that intro, huh? Anyways, what can I say? I'm in a creative mood. I'm in a good mood. Even though I'm going to rant a little bit on this episode of the PVD Cast. I'm going to talk about my guest in a few moments, but I think I want to get one thing off my chest real quick, because I just read this the other day, and it aggravated me to no end, and I just... This is going to be the first rant of this episode. There's going to be another one in the tail end of this episode, but I just got to get this off my chest. So, while looking around the internet and checking out some wrestling news and rumors and gossip and whatnot, I stumbled across a news story that supposedly has been reported that the WWE is going to bring back the Divas Search competition. It's going to be a WWE Network exclusive. Now, for those of you that don't know, the Divas Search, I don't know, I think about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, was a competition where a bunch of swimsuit models, lingerie models, ex-Hooters girls, whatever, basically sent in audition tapes, very much like Tough Enough. And out of that, a lot of WWE divas came out of it. Too many probably for me to even try to remember and name, but needless to say, most of them did not watch wrestling or were not fans of wrestling or whatever, and pretty much they've muddied the Divas division ever since then. And I am so aggravated by this and so upset by this, because you've heard it on this very podcast. You've heard me say that the Divas division has been exponentially better over the last few months ever since the WWE made the decision to bring up a lot of the people from NXT, such as Charlotte, Sasha Banks, Becky Lynch, and it has been much better. In fact, last night on SmackDown, I watched Naomi versus Charlotte. Naomi has actually gotten better by working with these girls. So things are improving. We are seeing the Divas Revolution. I know that's what they call it, but we really truly are seeing a revolution into where women are actually wrestling. All right, they're wrestling like men. And now we're going to bring back the WWE Divas Search so we can find more, quite frankly, sorry, bimbos and swimsuit models and whatnot to just make that division so much more weaker. That groan is all that I can muster. It blows my mind. It really, truly does. I hope for whatever reason that does not happen. I hope that it's hopefully that there's some meeting in Stanford where they totally destroy that idea and not do it, because I can't believe after years and years and years of hearing wrestling fans bitch about how bad the Divas division is that they would even entertain that idea is just absolutely ludicrous. All right. I'm going to take a sip of water because I'm thirsty after that giant rant. And now I'm going to jump into my guest that's joining me on this episode of the PVD Cast. He was actually on episode 57. Now he's on episode 75. We joke about he's a mathematical palindrome. But the man that's joining me, the handlebar haberdasher, Marion Fontaine. I paused to use that nickname because, as we learned on the last time he joined us on this podcast, that he had quite a few monikers. Quite a few is an understatement, but, you know, Marion Fontaine has created a unique brand of wrestling, old wrestling, OLDE wrestling, and it's really entertaining, it's really interesting, and you know what, I don't know if it's for everybody. It's a unique blend of, I guess you could say, wrestling styles. You know, you get some high flying, you get some comedy, you get some grappling, all set in an old-timey world. So, old wrestling is very good, it's very creative. You could check out all the information by going to oldwrestling.com, OLDE wrestling.com, And it's a pleasure to have Marion Fontaine come back on this podcast. He's a great guy. He's a creative dude, both in and out of the ring. And so happy to have him come on and talk about the big show that's coming up for Old Wrestling August 30th in Norwalk, Ohio, Huron County Fairgrounds. 3 o'clock is the bell time. And again, stop on over to oldwrestling.com if you need any more information or whatnot. But before I get to my conversation with Marion Fontaine, I think I got to mention one other thing real quick here, because time is ticking on CD1025 FM's crowdfunding campaign. I've mentioned it many times. Columbus, Ohio is host to one of only two independently owned radio stations in the USA. And the amount of money the FCC charges radio stations to broadcast their music or their programming is astronomical. And so CD1025 FM wants to buy their license. And so you can help them do that. Look, I gave. You know, and you just give what you're comfortable for. Just go over to cd1025.com/invest and you can read up on all the different perks. You can get a little bit of history about the radio station. You know, you can see where they're at progress-wise. I think we have till the end of September to help make music history. And that's what you will be doing, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to make history. And let's face it, the multi-conglomerates, the multimedia conglomerates of America, they have too much money as it is right now. So let's help out CD1025 FM. Get the money that they need to buy their own license. Then they don't have to worry about the FCC. They don't have to worry about this anymore. Simply go to cd1025.com/invest and give whatever you can give. All right? All right. Since I got that taken care of, I'm going to go to a quick musical interlude. And then on the other side of that, it's my conversation with Marion Fontaine. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am sitting down here tonight with a man that has been on this podcast before. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Marion Fontaine. Mr. Fontaine, how are you, sir?
I'm great. You know, the saying goes, reunited, and it feels so good.
You know what? Actually, I noticed that you are like a mathematical palindrome, because you were number 57, and now you're 75.
Oh man. So I don't even know what would come next after that. I would assume, gosh, I don't even know. I think that's the end of it. Because I'm trying to think, you can't, like, you know, seven times five is only like 35, you know, seven plus. We can't go back.
No. That could be, that's the hashtag for this episode. Hashtag 5775. Maybe that'll start trending. Who knows?
Yeah, right.
Anyways, well, for those folks who are silly enough that have not listened to number 57, let's recap a little bit for them, maybe some new listeners out there. How did you get started in this madcap world of professional wrestling, sir?
Oh, it goes back eons by now. It has to be eons. I just kind of been a lifelong fan of wrestling since really early age. And, you know, had always followed it through magazines, and we didn't have cable, so you'd be like the Sunday morning wrestling. Always WWF for me. And then going to live events and all that. And when I was in middle school, that was kind of the height or the beginning of the Attitude Era around there. And so that was when I think the whole kind of generation of backyard wrestling became really popular, with those, you know, the releases of the VHS tapes and the DVDs.
Oh, yeah.
Just so huge. And we were kind of in that sector, and even had friends that were on there. On those tapes, which is fun to go back and watch some of those. But
do you rub it in their faces? Do you go, ha, ha, ha?
No, yeah, it's just like, well, because it's kind of like, oh, I remember what we did when we backyarded, and we did not go crazy like that. Like, there were no cinder blocks. Like, I mean, there was probably a table or two, but we used to use this stuff called blueboard instead of tables for a while. It was almost just kind of, it was like insulation. It was like this really lightweight insulation in the form of a board. And, you could go through it so easily. It was like as light as a feather, but it exploded when you went through it. So that was the reason we used that instead of tables, because we were like, oh, well, this isn't going to hurt, and it looks really cool. So we're just going to make these seem like they're actual tables. So we were definitely not like the hardcore, you know, like blood and tacks and all that stuff that became kind of synonymous when you say backyard wrestling.
Yeah, yeah.
We were pretty goofy, which I think has carried through for me pretty much throughout kind of my wrestling career. But yeah, after doing that for a while, a couple of guys that were older than us were actually training up and around Cleveland, Ohio, in the Cleveland and around Cleveland, Ohio area. And we went to a few live shows, a couple friends of mine, and decided like, oh yeah, we want to do this. And you know, like some of us continued to pursue it. Other guys, you know, lost interest in wrestling as far as that's concerned. And, you know, I've been doing it ever since, which, this is the 10th year since I've been doing it professionally, or I like to call it a semi-pro wrestler, semi-professionally.
That's a good adjective to use. That's a good adjective to use. Okay, so 10 years in, and you've been, quite frankly, synonymous with Cleveland area, if you will. Many of the fans that have watched STO Network and whatnot, you're mostly known for being in the Cleveland area. That is correct?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. The when Pro Wrestling Ohio, and then as it turned into Prime, when that was on STO, to this day, and it's been off TV for, I think, now, like at least two years, I think, now.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's been off TV for 2 years, but people will still, you know, ask me about it. Will it ever be back? We wish it was back. You know, it was so fun. And those are a lot of fun years. And, yeah, like you said, I've kind of been most synonymous with that show just because it had such a great reach all around the U.S. and even outside of it. We had found that fans were watching it and following the show, and it was a really, I thought, well done show for the budget and everything concerned, and the people behind it. And it did a lot for a lot of guys, people like me, and you know, like Johnny Gargano, Greg Iron. It was a really good platform for us to get our names out there.
So growing up as a kid, who were some of your favorites that you like to follow?
Oh man, you know, kind of the usual suspects, your Hulk Hogan's, your Randy Savage's. I really liked Jake the Snake Roberts, and there was a few, like, you know, bad guys that I still kind of admired because they were just so good. Perfect example, Mr. Perfect.
No,
he was just so good that I couldn't, like, man, I can't hate this guy. He's good at every sport. Like, I wish I was good as him at every sport.
Did you go to the bowling alley and practice throwing the ball down the lane and turning around and going, strike? No? What? Got her ball?
That's probably a great example, because my mom was an excellent bowler, and she did a league for many years. She was actually a really good amateur bowler, mm-hmm. and would bowl, like, against, like, men's leagues and things like that. So, if there was any kind of sport to follow in the footsteps of in my family, it would be bowling with my mom, which I think probably to this day she could beat me easily. Easily beat me.
Well, I, you know what? I am not a very good bowler. I'm actually, anytime I bowl, the first game is great and then it just goes downhill.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I don't know if that's how you bowl, but that's always how I bowled. First game, pretty good. Then yeah. From there on out, it's awful. So,
I'm so competitive just in all kinds of whatever. If there's any kind of competition, I'm totally sold and I don't want to lose. And, you know, I think I'm a decent bowler at best, but still doing the activity, you're just like, oh, I should be better than this. How am I losing to this guy? You know, like, or how am I losing to this girl? How is this happening right now? So I think it's got to be one of those things where I need to have a couple spirits in me, you know, to kind of just get a little bit looser in the lane and get the roll down. Watch Kingpin a couple times beforehand, you know.
Funny you mention that. I had a friend that was incredibly awful at playing billiards, but
Okay.
the more he drank, the better he played.
Right.
And that is the honest to God's truth. Like he would have two or three beers and then he would kick the crap out of you. Like he was like Fast Domino. I'm like, how you half in the bag and you're kicking the daylights out of me. So yeah. And it's funny that you mention that. But well, all right. So for those that are more interested in your career and whatnot, I'm just gonna say go back and listen to episode 57 of this podcast, because I'd like to move ahead and like to talk a little bit more about the big event that's coming up for old wrestling, yet another extravaganza of wrestling, which is happening August 30th, Huron County Fairgrounds in Norwalk, Ohio. So I want to talk a little more about that, but maybe let's start off with real quick, what was your original idea for creating old wrestling?
Oh, man. Well, like you said, yet another extravaganza of wrestling exhibitions. At this point, I'm just trying to make it the longest title of a wrestling show. Like we're just adding just, you know, words on top of it. I don't even know what I'm going to do next year. Like, I'm not even sure.
So unlike UFC that continues to just number them, and it's
right.
UFC 179, it's just,
right.
You're going to add on more words.
Yep. I mean, I'm assuming just we just put and on it, and yet another, you know, like what else?
You're putting other conjunctions. Also, another wrestling extravaganza.
In addition to. But yeah, you know, I guess I never had the passion or really the desire to be labeled a wrestling promoter or kind of be in that realm. I just prefer being a performer, especially after doing. Right now, we've done four old wrestling shows. Yeah, four. So I know the responsibilities and things that it takes to go into it, and that's why, you know, it's something that we don't do all that often. I think it's, you couldn't do it, you know, every month or anything like that. It's a specialty show. It's a niche show, and I like to kind of leave it at that. But a couple years ago, when the idea came about, I just was like, well, I'd like to do one show. I'd like to see what it's like to put together one show back in the area that I grew up in, and give that community something kind of cool and different and interesting. And this is just kind of like family entertainment, you know, that anybody could come to. And I kind of transformed my wrestling persona into this old-fashioned bare-knuckle boxer, you know, a pugilist character. And talking one night with my girlfriend, we just kind of came up with the idea that, you know, there are other characters in wrestling that portray a vintage type of character. You know, some perfect examples are like a Thunder Kitty, who's a women's wrestler that's, you know, straight out of the 40s, 50s, you know, with the old leopard print, one piece like singlet. Dasher Hatfield is a vintage baseball hurler. People like Jervis Cottonbelly and Sue Jackson. So there's these characters out there that fit the profile of a vintage show, and I thought, well, let's do a show that's completely set back in time, you know, because I will always say that wrestling is theater first and foremost, and the ring is our stage, and you can pretty much do whatever you want, because everybody knows, you know that wrestling isn't a, you know, straight up sport.
Yes, it's like I said, predetermined. You know, yeah, sure.
Right,
predetermined.
Exactly.
You know, set up whatever you. It's a work. You know, whatever
right.
you call it. Right.
Yeah, whatever kind. Yeah, whatever kind of term you have, and that's just kind of like me, you know, saying to myself, if you present something that's different and interesting, and it's done well, the fans are going to accept it. The right fans, the fans that want to watch it, the fans that want to come out. And they'll want to participate. They'll want to see it, and they'll accept it for what it is, because, you know, it is theater. It is a play. And so, yeah, we came up with this idea. We tried to be as different as possible to this day, you know, from like a live ragtime band to, you know, having
Model
the event in a barn.
Yeah, I was gonna say Model T Fords, right?
Right.
Model
yep.
A's
antique
as well.
Cars.
Yeah,
yep.
Antique cars. How was the, you know, you mentioned the fans, how the fans responded in regards to old wrestling throughout the different shows?
Oh, they've been great. The fans have probably been one of the best parts of the whole experience, mm-hmm. just because we always try and encourage them to kind of dress up in vintage attire, and so many of them end up doing it. Not everybody does, and that's just, you know, I'm sure that's a comfort thing. And we'll give them props. You know, we've, in the past years, we've had kind of signs, mustaches, old like top hats, bowler hats, just to kind of, you know, put them in the mood in a sense where they don't have to go full bore, full attire, but they can at least wear a hat or have, you know, like these, just kind of the old fashioned auctioneer fans and things like that, just to get them more into the spirit of what we're trying to do, and make them feel like they're a part of this experience.
Now, how about the cast of characters that you have on the show? Now, was it hard to convince them, or how did you go around getting your roster of talent, so to speak? Now, I mean, I know you mentioned, you know, Dasher Hatfield, who has appeared mm-hmm. on shows before, and Sue Jackson. Those guys already kind of had mm-hmm. characters that would easily be able to come right into the show.
Right.
What about some of the other folks? Like, how'd you go around in determining who to have on and what characters?
Was that
a happy accident, so to speak? Or
well, it kind of started with the fact that, you know, I want to be around people that I enjoy seeing at other shows, whether it's just hanging around with them or if I've had matches with them. I wanted to center the show around people that I know would have a fun time, would understand what I was trying to accomplish, and in the end, just embrace the show for what it is, which is just, you know, this fun, ridiculous, over the top vintage show. And you know, fortunately, I've made a lot of friends through wrestling, from, you know, Ohio to Chicago to, you know, the East Coast, West Coast, and, you know, like down south in Florida. It's been a great way to network, and there's just so much amazing talent, even within the Midwest and in Ohio, of people that I enjoy watching as a fan when I'm at shows or behind the scenes, just, you know, peeking out through the curtain. And so it was picking those people, determining if they wanted to do it, and then for some guys, there was a back and forth on if they had any ideas for the character, but then other characters were kind of like ideas that I had, where I was like, okay, I'd like to have a moonshiner. Who could do that? Jock Sampson. That fit, okay. You know, that fits in perfectly. It's just, we're taking him back, you know, we're taking him back 80 or so years. So, you know, you kind of try and match up what their character is doing currently, but then have an old fashioned kind of spin on it. And then some guys are, you know, completely different than what they usually do, which would kind of be like the lobbying legislators of an anti-saloon land, and, you know, your Judge Hugo Lexington Blacks, characters like that, who completely embrace it and have just a ball doing it. So that was kind of the process going into it, was just getting friends together, you know, spitballing ideas back and forth on what characters they wanted to do, and then go from there.
Gotcha. All right, well, I'm going to run down some of the matches that you already have scheduled for August 30th. And you know, at any time, just throw out some thoughts about some of the matches, all right?
Sure.
Obviously, the big one, I guess, the big one that you've talked a lot about is Matthew Cross versus Caden Assad.
Right.
And this is for the World Wrestling Championship.
Yep. This is a lot of these matches are actually kind of a build up of what's happened at, you know, the previous two extravaganzas or just previous shows in general, to kind of like bring fans that have followed from day one. They at least know that we're going along a certain path, and at the same time kind of gives fans who are there for the first time an idea of like what to expect when they're there. And Caden Assad versus Matthew Cross is actually champion versus champion. Matthew Cross is the world champion of professional wrestling in our world. He is the champion. There are no others. However, the evil, I could say, sadistic maybe, Caden Assad claims that he is the world champion. because Matthew Cross hasn't defended his title in areas that Caden Assad has. So we've kind of got a self-proclaimed champion versus what we consider in old wrestling to be the real champion, winner take all. And there's a little bit of backstory. They were supposed to actually wrestle last year. And then Caden Assad is aligned with Robert Evans, and Matthew Cross has actually beaten Robert Evans to become champion. So there's a fun little backstory and history there, which is actually on the website too, that fans can always check out and learn a little bit more in depth of the history of that match.
Okay, another match that you have, which I think this might be the first time that this has ever happened in old wrestling, is that you have an intergender tag team match. You have Heidi DeRiveter teaming with the Jollyville Jeepers to take on Jack Blonde, Derek Oster, and Thunder Kitty.
Yeah.
Heidi and Thunder Kitty have had a big rivalry in old wrestling from the get-go.
Exactly. Yeah, Heidi and Thunder Kitty have a best of three series going that's actually tied 1-1. And we were hoping to try and kind of resolve that, but it seems like Heidi the Riveter seems to be kind of ducking out on Thunder Kitty. One thing to note about this match is it is mixed tag. So not technically intergender match.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay.
You know, keeping up with those old-fashioned rules, we actually had a little bit of an intergender match at last year's Extravaganza where the Blondes, Jack and Tripp, actually had a surprise partner, which was their sister, mm-hmm. and they took on the Legislators. But this year, kind of the rules are your old-fashioned intergender match where tag into the ladies will wrestle, tag into the men of the contest, the men will wrestle. So hopefully those rules are upheld. I mean, we've got some stern refs, in my opinion. So hopefully they'll kind of keep things in order, and hopefully, you know, Thunder Kitty will get her hands on Heidi.
And then you have a rematch that has been, what, 30 years in the making? You
yeah,
have
almost
Tracy Smothers is going to be wrestling a bear. And for those that don't know, Tracy Smothers has, I believe, a victory, correct? Over the bear from 1985 or something like that?
Well, we have a video up online on our YouTube channel that people can check out where Tracy Smothers basically covers his history of wrestling bears. And it was a really fun interview to shoot with him because we like to keep kind of our timeline as detailed, not detailed, but, you know, as accurate as possible. So, like you said, he was wrestling the bears in 1989, and he was saying that in the promo, and I had to keep saying, can you just say 89? Like, just say 89. That's discreet. It probably happened in 1889, you know? but yeah, the video online kind of depicts his history of wrestling bears. He talks about the first time he did it, which I think he was in college. That was his first match. He did it again a couple of years into wrestling. And then the video that's online that's really popular, it's got, you know, I don't even, hundreds of thousands of views, was like a 3-night stint against a couple bears where he like had a normal match and then he would have to wrestle a bear later. So when you say Tracy Smothers, a lot of people in the business, that's kind of synonymous with wrestling bears just because the video is so popular online. And I think, you know, by that time, a lot of states kind of deemed it,
illegal? Was it like,
it was deemed illegal, I think, probably like even soon after that. I think it was in Alabama. So Alabama's probably a few years behind the other states as far as like, you know, not hurting animals,
right.
Maybe.
It's not a PETA-friendly state. Let's just
right, exactly.
There. Yeah.
Yeah, nothing against Alabama. I'm just saying they probably let the bear wrestling happen a couple more years later.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure. You know.
But yeah, so we are going to have it happen one more time, a match that I don't think anyone expected to happen again. But in the world of old wrestling, I think there was no better opponent for Tracy Smothers, because, you know, bear wrestling was you know, hugely popular.
Right.
In the 20s, in the 30s, even on into, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s, you know, like even like Bears Against Boxers. If you look it up, there's actually an article on Vice that just kind of depicts the history of men wrestling bears or men boxing bears. And it's really fascinating. So we tried to kind of tap into that. And obviously, I'll say this, I've said it often in online posts, it's not a real bear. It is illegal in Ohio, but like I said, when you come to the show, it's a theater, you know, you have to let, your imagination run wild a little bit. So there will be a bear. It just won't be a live black bear.
Yeah. Well, see, I'm glad you let the cat or bear as it is out of the bag on that one. Bad pun intended.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, I mean, I've seen probably some posts online, and it's funny to see that people, you know, are playing along with it, which is great. That's what we want. That's exactly the tone of the show that we're going for. And, even talking with Tracy about it, he loved the idea, you know, and I'm so happy to have him be a part of it with the show. And, have some people just suspend disbelief, you know? That's what it's all about. That's really what it's all about.
Exactly. And you have a big match, you and your partner, Jervis Cottonbelly, as you'll be taking on the anti-saloon land legislatures.
True.
What can fans expect out of that match?
Probably a lot of handshakes. I mean, you know, Jervis and I are a pretty gentlemanly tag team. And not afraid to shake our opponent's hands. And, you know, the legislators, it seems like, you know, it's a voting year for those guys every year, for as much as they smile and try to shake hands. But you also have to watch out for those guys because they are, you know, kind of snide, I would say, in a sense. And we'll play to trickery and tomfoolery from now and then. So I haven't wrestled the representative, Volstead, before at all. So I'm really looking forward to getting in the ring with him. The Senator Shepard, I've wrestled him a number of times and had just a ton of fun. And anytime I can team with Jervis is just a great fun experience. He's a phenomenal character from Chikara. And if people don't know of him, he's definitely worth, checking out. Very unique, character. That's just like all around fun. And, you know, people like any age could enjoy his antics.
I'm surprised we haven't seen the good senator or the good representative, you know, with the rest of the Republicans on the debate.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, because they are all indeed Republicans. That would even include Judge Hugo Lexington Black.
Oh,
are Republicans.
I wonder how they would fare against Donald Trump.
I don't think their foot would be in their mouths as much as it would be for Trump.
Yeah. Anyways, and a couple more matches real quick to round out the card. You have Inky Scoops taking on Big Sue Jackson. And
yep.
These two gentlemen have not been on the same page. They do not get along whatsoever.
No.
So that should be a very interesting match.
Yep. Yeah, they've just really quick on them, they've gone through – we've broken popcorn bags over people's heads between the two. They've gotten to pie fights. There's been wedgies. They've kind of been the very lighthearted entertainment throughout the show, and it's finally going to be an actual one-on-one contest, so I can't wait to see what those guys come up with.
And last but not least, you have the old-timer Jeff King taking on Lewis Linden, who will he be reprising his role as Felino de Rojo?
He will indeed. The roll of the R was perfect there.
Thank you.
Lewis will be reprising his kind of vintage luchador character. And these two guys are both from Michigan. They've wrestled before, have great chemistry. And Jeff King, we didn't mention him earlier, but Jeff King is another perfect example of a character that fits into this world of old wrestling. He was actually... when we were coming up with the roster, him and Thunder Kitty were the top two people that I was like, I need to get. And Jeff hadn't actually wrestled. He had taken some time off. He's got a few kids and whatnot. And, you know, other responsibilities outside of wrestling, which are, if you can believe it, people have responsibilities outside of wrestling. I'm so glad that he's kind of wrestling at least for us, but he's also kind of around Michigan and maybe Indiana or something like that here and there. So it's so great to have him aboard. He's a fantastic character. My favorite, probably.
Well, also going on, it kind of in conjunction with Old Wrestling, is you got the Wrestling Geek Fest that's going on, I believe, this weekend, correct? The 16th of that? In which Old Wrestling will be there representing, if you will. So what is Wrestling Geek Fest? You got any little backstage knowledge as to what that's all about?
Yeah, I sure do. Todd Jordash, Jordan Ashel got a hold of me a while ago and kind of explained that if people don't know, Phil Singer Games is a card game that's based around professional wrestling. It started with something called Champions of the Galaxy, which started in the 80s. And you probably saw ads, like for old fans, they probably saw ads in like your PWI and other older wrestling magazines. And Tom Filsinger, the guy that started the game, actually was started it in Cleveland when he lived in Cleveland. I'm not really sure how long or if he's actually from Ohio. I can't remember that, but he started the game there and then eventually moved to New York. And every year, Phil Singer puts on kind of a convention to celebrate the card game. A couple of years ago, they actually did their first live show where they brought their Champions of the Galaxy characters to life. Champions of the Galaxy is like a wrestling promotion set, you know, I think 2,000 or 200 years in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So conversely to old wrestling, it's, you know, 200 years in the future compared to years in the past. But Todd reached out to me and was explaining this festival he wanted to do to kind of commemorate the 25th anniversary of Phil Singer Games. And I'm really excited about it. There's a ton of amazing talent on this show. There are guys from Ring of Honor, Moose, Dalton Castle. There's guys from Chikara, Eddie Kingston, Bryce Remsburg. I know I'll forget some, but Madison Rain from TNA, Mia Yim, which I think she goes by Jaden TNA. Yep. There's so many great talented wrestlers, and then it goes from Friday to Sunday. Friday is an AIW show that will kick things off, and I think there's stand-up comedy that night. Saturday's the convention with all kinds of different, you know, wrestling apparel, different tables. I'll be there with Old Wrestling. We'll be set up. And there'll be two wrestling shows on Saturday, one that's focused on like a student showcase, and then later in the evening there'll be an Old Wrestling match amongst some of the other talent that I had mentioned. So I'm really looking forward to it. There's podcasting. There's like vintage wrestling video games that are happening. If you look at the itinerary, it really is a wrestling geek fest because it's like so ingrained in this culture of being a wrestling fan, but you know, also realizing that you are probably a geek.
Yeah, well, and you know what? There's no problem with that. We're all, you know,
we all have
passions, man. So
exactly.
You know, and that's happening up in Strongville at the Holiday Inn, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, in Strongsville, which is like a suburb of Cleveland, you know, right around there. I think maybe like Southwest or something like that. But, mm-hmm. you know, I hope this first year is a success and they can do something like it, you know, every year. I think with so many Comic-Cons that happen all over the U.S., I'd like to think that we could do a wrestling-themed one. And I'm all for it being in Ohio because that's where.
There you go. And I'm going to just plug it real quick. Go to WrestlingGeekFest.com for more information about that real quick. Get that plug in there. And, of course, when we're talking about old wrestling, if you want to check out some of the videos that Mary Fontaine has mentioned or anything, you have any questions because you missed something, Old Wrestling, O-L-D-E, Wrestling.com. Wanted to throw that out there, too. So that, again, is yet another extravaganza of wrestling. I almost messed that up. See what I did there? I almost messed it up.
It takes so many breaths.
It does.
It's so many syllables.
Yet another extravaganza of wrestling happening August 30th, the Huron County Fairgrounds, Norwalk, Ohio. What time is bell time, by the way?
Bell time is at 3. We like to do an afternoon show.
Okay.
Just especially on a Sunday. You know, and usually I think things are pretty much done around 6 o'clock, but yeah, there's all kinds of things happening. Antique cars, live band, We're gonna have a photo booth. There's a kiss on the cheek booth. Jervis Cottonbelly is gonna be behind a kissing booth, and donations that we work with a local nonprofit. It's the Norwalk United Fund, and donations from the kissing booth, donations from our popcorn sold at the show, all go to that organization. So it's a really great fun show, and it's something really unique. Especially, you don't have to be a wrestling fan, I don't think, to necessarily enjoy the show. You just have to be a fan of entertainment, of fun, good, clean, down-home, American, wholesome family entertainment.
There you have it. Hey, real quick, though, before we start wrapping things up here, we were talking off-air real quick about you were watching some World Class Championship Wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
Right before we started recording this podcast. So, and I know in May when we talked in person, last time we talked in person at the DBI, you were talking about you were really captivated by World of Sport.
Mm-hmm.
So, World Class is what you're watching right now.
Yep.
But I'm curious, how did you get into the world of sport? Like, out of curiosity? Because you are a wrestling connoisseur.
I think I just, with my character being kind of this old-fashioned character, I guess, you know, people will tell me, or people will tell you if you're in wrestling for so long, is just that you have to emphasize what you're good at and kind of, you know, hide what you're not the best at. And so, you know, with embracing this old fashioned character, I think I just started watching just older wrestling in general. And, I really enjoy, Colt Cabana, you know, and I've been fortunate to be in the ring with him multiple times, have matches with him, partnering with him or against him. And he's just got such a unique style. And I had known of Johnny Saint for a while because he is kind of like the, you know, most spotlighted World of Sport athlete, or the most well-known. If you say World of Sport, people will say usually like, oh, yeah, you know, Johnny Saint, Fit Finley, you know, people of those realm. And so through that, you know, I knew that that was kind of Cabana's style, was what he likes to sprinkle in a good amount, and he has a style that's just kind of like unique to his own. And I kind of wanted to do the same thing, where I was focusing on that British style of wrestling, because I think it's different, it's unique, and it fits the old fashioned character that I portray. And so I just got into a rabbit hole of it. I've ordered a ton of DVDs from Britain, from a person that has, like, you know, made DVDs from classic World of Sport TV. And I can't even watch it on my television because it's on a different region.
So
that's how committed I am, because I know it. Like, I'll still buy them, and then I'll just watch them, you know, on my computer, mm-hmm. and just try and find obscure wrestlers that people don't really know, or if you can't really find on YouTube. A really great one is this guy named George Kidd. And George Kidd trained Johnny Saint. The only thing that's unfortunate is that George Kidd, you know, I mean, he's had to have passed on. I'm not really sure, but he's had to be fairly old, because I think Johnny Saint's maybe in his 70s now.
Yeah.
So there's only, to my knowledge, 3 matches of his that were televised and, like, available, and I have 2 of them. So that's just kind of the obscurity that I'm just like, all right, I got to find the next, you know, obscure British wrestler and just see if there's anything that this guy does that no one else is really doing or just isn't familiar to a lot of audiences.
That third match is on a tape that's probably in a cave, and you're going to have to switch out a sandbag or a giant rolling ball, a boulder comes down, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And then I'm going to have, you know, daggers thrown at me, or, you know, and like blow darts and whatnot.
You have to keep the tape out of the hands of the evil Nazis. Anyways, you know, talking about that recently, I just caught an episode of Global Wrestling, GWF.
Oh, yeah.
Because I do not get ESPN Classic, but my mom has it, and I just happened to catch it one night. It was from, I'm not sure, I think late 92, early 93, and got to see a very young Axel and Ian Rotten.
Oh, yeah.
Calvin Knapp, They had a match with the Angel of Death for World Class versus one of the Young Bloods. The what was her name? The Tribal Nation, I think, was her name.
Oh, okay.
And a very young Booker T and Stevie Ray.
Nice, yeah.
Yeah, and on commentary, a very young John Hawk, a.k.a. JBL.
Oh, wow, he was doing commentary then?
He was doing commentary. Well, they had a rotating color commentator for each match. There was somebody else. And he and Bobby Duncombe Jr. were out for the tag match with the Ebony Experience. And I was like, wow, he is so young there.
Yeah, I don't know too much about Global. I mean, I know that, you know, it was on ESPN and that was kind of a jumping pad for a lot of, like JBL, you know, Harlem Heat, like Raven, I believe, too.
Yep. Mick Foley was down there for a while too. Okay. Cactus Jack was down there. Yeah, it was cool because I never got to watch all too much of that when it was on in its heyday. So it was nice to see, but you know what? I think ESPN needs wrestling back.
You know, and I keep seeing that they're at least covering it bit by bit.
Yeah.
You know, here and there. I couldn't agree more because you know, the amount of coverage that ESPN has as far as like what are considered sports is so vast. You know, they would cover, say, like cheerleading competitions to like billiards or to, you know, there's so many different ones. There's ESPN2, 3, ESPNU.
And there's now the World Arm Wrestling League. I saw that. I happened to be at a restaurant and they had it on. I'm like, really? So you're going to, okay.
Right.
All right. Who's drinking motor oil? That's what I want to see.
Right. Exactly.
that was an over-the-top reference for folks that didn't get that at home. You can Google that movie later on. Anyways. but I mean, my thing is that at times I don't watch a lot of ESPN, especially like in the daytime, but I've noticed that there seems like there's a lot of talk shows on ESPN in the afternoon. And how much coverage can you give to Flightgate?
Right. Exactly. I know. Oh man. I totally get it. It might be kind of the same syndrome that MTV is under where it's just like, instead of kind of focusing on, you know, music videos, they've kind of gone to just like the reality shows. And in the same sense, ESPN's like, let's cover the reality of the sport over the actual sport itself. You know, we've got like all these other, you know. I mean, you know, because there was a time too when ESPN would, like you said, would have wrestling. It would have almost kind of these wacky sporting events because it was before they would get licensed. You know, licensing from Major League, you know, baseball or whatnot. And that was kind of the time that I was like, really, like, okay, so we're going to have windsurfing from Cape Cod? Okay, yeah, no, let me watch that on a Sunday afternoon. So, I mean, I think there's also too room for wrestling on ESPN. There is. I mean, just based on the wide coverage that they have, I think maybe it could be something that we'll see them toy with. Because I think at the same time, too, I know they cover MMA here and there, but I don't think they actually will have any contests on ESPN, but I could be wrong.
I think you're correct on that. I think they cover MMA. They don't have any fights on their particular network, but I just think that let's be honest, I feel this way. I don't know about you, but I think we're in an upswing here in the industry and you got so many places out there where individuals can go and ply their trade, and by that I mean non-WWE, there's got to be an outlet for some of these things. You know, you hear Global Forces doing tapings. Well, they need an outlet. Maybe Lucha Underground if their deal falls through with El Rey, which is kind of up in the air. Yeah. TNA even. I mean, ESPN could pick up one of those and have a kind of instant success right off the bat.
I think so. I think there's a market for it. You know, it's just you know, it's finding the right place, and you know, all those shows. You know, like the whole. I've been trying to read up with Lucha Underground because I just think that show that's kind of the future of wrestling to me, and how it should be kind of presented. And I really hope that succeeds. But you know, it's shows like that. You know, they have such a different budget than a lot of other shows, just based on the production value and things like that. So I definitely think that that, I mean, my hope is that in the ensuing years, ESPN would actually, like, go back and let's maybe televise a wrestling show. Let's maybe try and, you know, get our feet a little bit wet and try, like, MMA first or something like that. I mean, obviously, there's always purists that may not think either of those are sports, MMA and wrestling, but at the same time, too, I think there's a lot of fans that'll champion for it, and I think, you know, wrestling's in an upswing, too, because we're just to that generation where everybody knows that, you know, wrestling is predetermined and all that, and just accept it as what it is, as an art form. There was a great article in Sports Illustrated a couple weeks ago, because I still subscribe to Sports Illustrated. It was a Where Are They Now issue. And they kind of covered 25 years ago or so, like, they covered Hulk Hogan, kind of like in the realm of, like, WrestleMania 1, I think.
Yep, I remember
is,
that.
Is when he made the cover. Mm-hmm. So they kind of, like, covered a few wrestlers at WrestleMania now. Hogan, Medusa, Tito Santana, which he's got a really interesting story. And the person that was writing about it, I could tell wasn't – they might have prefaced it by saying that they weren't that big of a wrestling fan. But one thing that really stood out to me is they had mentioned that in the play Peter Pan, when the people are seeing Tinkerbell die, Peter Pan asks – everybody in the audience to clap their hands, because if you clap your hands, Tinkerbell will come back to life. You know, that will bring her back. And so Peter Pan starts to clap, then a few people in the audience clap, and then everybody claps, and there's this rousing applause, and Tinkerbell is back to life. She's back, you know, she's back to it, and then we continue on with the rest of the, you know, adventure of the play. And wrestling is in that same vein, because when you're there, you are, you know, you're clapping, you're a part of the audience. So at the end of the night, when you leave the play of Peter Pan, everybody in that audience knows that pixies aren't a real thing. You know,
yeah, right.
Pixies aren't real, and you don't have the power to clap to bring them back to life.
Right.
But when you're in that moment, you're suspending your disbelief. You're enjoying the play for what it is, and you're in that moment and you're experiencing it. And wrestling is the same exact way.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in that moment, you believe that this good guy is a good guy and he can overcome any obstacle or any evil. Or like, mm-hmm. this evil foreigner, you know, is a terrible human being and he disrespects America. And I think, that this generation now realizes that more than previous generations, where, yep. Kayfabe was just such, you know, a high regard and wrestlers needed to kind of save face and not let any of those things, seep through the cracks of professional wrestling, to let any outsiders in. I think we're past that. And I think that's helped wrestling, because fans are more probably, willing to embrace wrestling for what it is and just say, no, we all know it's theater. We're just basically going to a play in a huge arena. And mm-hmm. we know that these guys aren't really good, really bad. They're just out there, and they're amazing athletes at the same time too.
Mm-hmm.
So, that was a great little, and I can't remember the person that had written the article, but I was like, okay, that's the best way to kind of explain it. Like, I know the pixies aren't real. Like, but I'm gonna clap to keep Tinkerbell alive.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Tom Cruise is not gonna save us from a terrorist threat.
Right, exactly.
You know, because I mean, he's 5'7", number one, and probably right. like one, a 40. Eight. You know, yeah.
Number one.
Yeah, number one. All right, with that, let's start wrapping some things up here, my man. Where can folks follow you on social media? Is there anything you'd like to plug in that realm, if you will?
Oh, yeah, sure. The Marion Fontaine page is on Facebook, and I try and update that as best I can. I know that Facebook is kind of wonky, so sometimes it's not always in your feed. So check daily. You never know what'll be up there. And, you know, it's never too early to send me your address for the Christmas card, because that's probably my most popular post all year. I'll see more likes and shares from, you know, me sending out a Christmas card than any wrestling show that I'm on. But there's the Facebook page. On Twitter, it's not the wrestling persona of Marion Fontaine. It's just kind of my toils and tribulations of daily life that you can follow, and that's Jay Notke, JNOTTKE, and those are probably the two easiest ways to kind of see what I'm up to in and outside of wrestling.
All right, and don't forget about the website oldwrestling.com, OLDE wrestling.com, and that's also the Twitter handle, correct? @oldwrestling, OLDE wrestling as well, correct?
Yep, yeah. I always tell people old with an E on the end. It's the handle for Twitter. It's the handle for Facebook. Those are the two kind of main social medias that drive the product. And then, yeah, also on the web, oldwithanewrestling.com. And if you scroll down, there's a email list that you can sign up for. And we send out just kind of communications every other week or so or something like that when we've got some things going on. DVDs for sale and whatnot, you know, extravaganza announcements, all that stuff.
All right. Now, as the last time that you were on the podcast, we closed with your many, many, many monikers. The handlebar, haberdasher, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera. Have there been any new ones added?
Oh, I don't think there have. I think we almost have reached the limit. I mean, I've thrown maybe gentleman grappler in there. I don't know if we said the proverbial sportsman of pugilism. Okay, there we go. There's another
one. That's a good one.
If we could just, you know, I'll just keep adding them on. I'll just keep adding at least another one for the next time I'm interviewed.
Hey, man, thanks for coming on. I really, really appreciate it. You got to come back anytime. You have an open invitation anytime you'd like to come on.
Perfect. How does tomorrow sound?
Tomorrow, 5 p.m. Eastern time or Central time?
Let's just split it down the middle, and we'll just call it 5:30 my time, 4:30 for you.
All right. Hey, folks, just sit tight here. Again, Marion Fontaine, thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate it. But I'm going to throw this to a real quick break, and then when I come out of that break, I'm going to wrap up this episode. So sit tight.
Well, there you have my conversation, folks, with Marion Fontaine, talking a little old wrestling. And if you get the opportunity to go to Norwalk, Ohio on August 30th at the Huron County Fairgrounds, 3 o'clock start time, you really need to hustle on up there, because you'll see an amazing show and a creative show, a fun show. And hey, isn't that what you want in your professional wrestling? You want fun, you want to be entertained, you want to see something different. Old wrestling is definitely that. And again, I'm going to mention it one more time. Go to www.oldewrestling.com and you can get all the information as to tickets and everything if you're interested in making the trip up to Norwalk, Ohio. And with that, before we get into Orlando's faves and Orlando hates, that's right. I said there was a second rant coming up. I want to let you know real quickly about the Columbus Twin Collectible Show that is happening Saturday, September 12th and Sunday, September 13th at the Ohio Expo Center Lausch Building. You are going to see all types of new and retro toys. They're going to be there on sale. CTS Promotions is bringing you this gigantic toy show, and you know how much I love toys. I mean, I talk about it all the time. I have a garage full of old toys that were part of my childhood, and I just can't let go of them. Well, the dealers here at the Columbus Toy and Collectible Show will be letting go of them, unlike me, and you might be able to pick up something that you need for your collection. So if you're interested in getting more details, simply just go to ctspromotions.com, and you can get all the information about where you can get tickets, the hours, price of getting into the show, and whatnot. Once again, that's ctspromotions.com. All right, with that being said, you can hear the music, can't you? Oh yeah, it's time for Orlando's Faves and Orlando Hates. Okay, so ladies and gents, let's go back a little bit. And I believe that this was one of my faves. I liked the show Constantine that was on NBC this past year. It's a shame that it didn't get picked up. It's sad that it didn't get picked up by NBC or by another particular network. I thought the show was good. I liked the source material where it came from, the DC Vertigo comic book Hellblazer. But I thought it was a really cool fantasy, sci-fi, horror blend of a great show. And alas, it's no longer on the air, but my fave for this week was the fact that it was announced this week by one of the producers of the show Arrow, another favorite television show of mine, that John Constantine will be on Arrow this year, at least for one episode. And Matt Ryan, the gentleman that played John Constantine, and played him perfectly, by the way, in the NBC show, will be back in the role of John Constantine. So I'm very excited for that. I like Arrow. I think Arrow's a fun show. I think it's got a little bit of a dark edge to it, but I like it a lot. You know, there's some parts of it that are still hokey, you know, but I dig it, and I'm excited for Matt Ryan to come back as John Constantine on that show. So that is my fave for this edition of the PVD cast. But, unfortunately, I have a hate. That's right. Something that makes me upset. Something that angers me. Something that I just gotta let you know to avoid. And that is going to be a film that I saw this past week called The Tribe. Now, to just fill you in a little bit, if you go out on iTunes or if you go wherever you see your movie trailers at, whether it's iTunes or online or whatever, you might see the trailer for this movie, and it's the bait and switch, man. You think it's one particular type of movie, but it certainly is not. Now, the gimmick to this movie is this, that it is completely, totally in sign language. There are no voiceovers. There are no subtitles. There's no closed captioning. And the only thing you hear is ambient sounds. And so I was intrigued by this. I was like, wow, it looks like a coming-of-age tale about kids trying to fit in. And I'm curious to see this film because it looks creative, and I want to see if it can, you know, if I can keep up. If it can tell me a coherent tale. Man, oh man, is it just a big heaping pile of crap, though. Oh my goodness. While it does indeed tell you a tale, it is not the tale that you think it is. Basically, to give you a brief summary, a kid joins a boarding school. It's set in the Ukraine. You know that times are tough in the Ukraine. He falls in with a couple of kids that decide to do petty thefts and mug people and take the step to actually pimping out two classmates at the local truck stop. That's right, pimping out two girls at a local truck stop, which these two girls don't seem to mind, by the way. And then ultimately, the main character falls in love with one of the whores, and then it falls apart, and it's just awful. It's over the top. It's way too long. It's absolutely just not even worth your time. So that's my Orlando's hate for this episode, the film The Tribe. Avoid it. Alright? Don't even bother. Don't bother. It's a waste of time. Whew. Wow, look at that. Two rants in one episode. I'm worn out. Well, since I'm worn out, let's close up shop. Alright, so let me tell you where you can get in touch with me. You can tweet me at PVDMVP. That's also my Instagram account whenever I decide to post photos. I know, I'm not very good at the Instagram, but it is what it is. If you want to shoot me an email, feel free to do so, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. Tell everybody about the PVDcast, by the way. Let's get those numbers up even further. We're doing really, really good, folks. Let's just keep it going, if you will. And don't forget, you can listen to this podcast on Stitcher Radio or on SoundCloud as well. So, with that being said, I'm going to wrap things up, so I will chat at each and every one of you later. Thanks for listening, folks.